Okay, we are continuing with our look at Moshiach, B'zat Hashem. So yesterday we looked at the timeline, and today we're going to focus on the question, B'zat Hashem, who is Moshiach? Who? I'm not going to name names, but we're just going to talk generally. Who in general terms is Moshiach? So, where do we start with looking for who Moshiach is? So, like anything, you want to know what anything is, you try and find its source in the Torah. So the source in the Torah for who is Moshiach is fine, it's clear-ish. It's in Bereshit. Bereshit Mem Tet, Pasuk. Yud says as follows. Yaakov is giving the blessings to his sons. And he comes to Yehuda, and he says to Yehuda, "Lo yasu shevet me Yehuda." The staff, the shevet, will not pass from Yehuda. Umachokek mibein raglav, or the lawgiver, the scepter, from between his legs. We just learned this in Masechet Sanhedrin, right? We had that passage, right? Where we're learning the difference between the Reish Galuta and the Nasi. One is... Anyway, we're not going over that again. Ad ki yavo Shiloh. Ad ki yavo Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes. V'lo yikahat amim. And to whom all the nations will submit. So Shiloh. So Rashi says... Ad ki yavo Shiloh, Melech HaMashiach, Shamalucha Shalho, that the kingdom is his, the kingship is his. V'chen targumo onklus, and so translated onklus. Onklus also translates here the word Shiloh as, where is it? Let's look. Yud. Come here. Daite Mashicha. Mashicha. Shiloh is Mashiach. So we see from here that Yaakov is telling Yehuda that Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda. Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda. Right. Next. We know, we hear that there are two Mashiachs, not just one. To make it confusing. We have two Mashiachs. Not chas v'shalom, should anyone get this wrong, the first and the second, right? No such thing. No, there's Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. What does this mean?
How do we know there's Moshiach ben Yosef?
So,
you covered how there's Moshiach ben Yehuda.
Yeah, it's a good question. I was going to try and look to find the source for that, but... I do have a source for it. I have it here in Sukkah. Well, it's mentioned in Masechet Sukkah 52a. It's mentioned there over there in Masechet Sukkot on page 52a. It talks about the possibility that Moshiach ben Yosef will die. Right, the commentators say, taking it from the Gemara, that the Moshiach ben Yosef will die in a battle. Where do they learn that from? So in Masechet Sukkot, it brings that from the Pasukim in Zechariah. In Zechariah, which we said is one of the main sources for what's going to happen at the end of days, and everyone should read that because it's interesting. We see over here that on that day, which is, I guess, the final day, that day, there will be, on that day, the mourning will become intense. The land will mourn. Dot, dot, dot. Talking about. So, Gemara in Sukkot says, what are they mourning? And answers, they're mourning the death of Moshiach ben Yosef. that he will die in the battle. Now, it's not the universal view that that will happen. There's an argument in the Gemara whether that will happen, and we have later sources saying that that decree has been nullified. Right? The Ari says, the Ramchal says, based on the Zohar, that decree has been nullified and Moshiach ben Yosef will not die. Yes.
What's the role of Moshiach ben Yosef?
Okay, I'm going to come to a good question, okay? Maybe you already came. Yofi, that's also a possibility. The Rav Chaim Kramer in this book, the Moshiach book, he cites the Tikkuni Zohar. I haven't seen it inside, so I don't know what it says there, but he cites the Tikkuni Zohar as saying that the Akedat Yitzchak atoned for the death of Moshiach ben Yosef. That's what he said. I don't know. Hi, wow. Stop. What else? The Arizal. The Ari says that Moshiach ben Yosef, like Yosef said, similar anyway, is actually reincarnated in every generation. And Moshiach ben Yosef in every generation is the one who's fighting the evil of that generation. In one sense, he's talking about the Arizal. I have to go and look at the writings of the Arizal to see what he's talking about. And each generation he dies. Right? Each generation he fails to clear out all the evil. So in a sense that's true, he does die, but in the final battle he won't die, because he'll be successful, because his job will be to fight against evil, which answers Yaakov's question a little bit about what's his job to do. So we see the difference. What's the difference? You've got Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So what's the difference between them? So we know, if we take the concept of who was Yosef and who was David, their role kind of continues. So Yosef was the tzaddik, right? Yosef was the tzaddik, and his job was to certainly to tikkun abrit, to keep holy and kadosh. That's the job of the tzaddik. Like the Zohar says, who's a tzaddik? The one who guards his brit, right? The one who's holy. So the evil that we could say, certainly in one aspect that the Moshiach ben Yosef is fighting against, is the fight to keep Kedusha. Right? Certainly in this final generation, you know, that's probably the strongest battle, the biggest battle. A fight for Sniut, a fight against the ta'avot of this world, right? That's the fight of the tzaddik. Whereas, what's the role of Moshiach ben David? That's kingship, that's malchut. David was the king, to rule, right? Wasn't necessarily to fight the evil. Right, the Mashiach ben Yosef is this struggle, if you like. Yosef had to struggle and fight, had to overcome his temptation. Yeah.
I guess if he won the shul.
Reuben.
He was a ruler too.
Nachon, but the Mashiach will fight wars, but they'll only be done through Hashem, not through him. Mashiach, the concept of David is that David is Malchut is the sphera, if you talk Kabbalistically, that has nothing. It's the last one. It's on its own. It's at the bottom. And it has nothing of its own. It only gains from other people. And the concept of kingship of Malchut is that the king has nothing of his own. He's most humble. Right? He has nothing. He only has what Hashem gives him. Because he's the aspect of humility is that it's not me. I'm nothing, it's all Hashem. And when I'm nothing, then Hashem is everything. Like if we take the cup, like the amount of me in here means that Hashem can only be in this much. If I reduce all of me, then Hashem fills everything. Right? I have to remove myself. When I remove myself, which includes humility, then I'm filled up instead with Hashem. Right? Which is a lot of the teachings of Rav Nachman, to throw away your sefer. And then you can have Hashem's wisdom. Right? You can either have your wisdom, which is, oh, it's useful, it's limited, it's messed up, it's clouded, it's wrong. Right? You can keep that if you want. Or you can pour that all away, and Hashem can give you clean, pure, holy wisdom. But you have to throw away your wisdom first. Right, yeah.
Why can't one Mashiach do both?
Why can't one Mashiach do both? Good question. Don't know why Hashem split it. Don't. Then the concept maybe that they come together at the end.
Because if you look, Moshe, he was leader, and he was teacher, and he was like,
good.
Everything.
Right. Although, Paul, but we do see a difference between, you're right, but we do see a difference between the concept of tzaddik and the concept of leader. The concept of tzaddik is also within, Moshe was also a tzaddik. And in, I guess maybe in him, the two blend. But in David and Yosef, those who are the kind of the primary templates for each one, they're very much, David was a tzaddik, but we don't say King David the tzaddik. He was, but that's not how we see him. And we know that Yosef was also a leader, but we don't say Yosef the great leader. We say Yosef is tzaddik, right, because he overcame the Yetzer Hara, etc. And we say David was the ultimate leader. He gave everything to Hashem, and he was nothing. And he.
So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the ultimate leader.
Moshe was a combination of the two, and Moshe, we know the soul of Moshe will be the soul of Mashiach. Will be the two, but we don't see Moshe. But when Moshe led the people, we don't see anywhere about Moshe fighting his own battles, struggles. I don't see anywhere where Moshe became a tzaddik.
From Aro and Midian and everything like that.
No, he ran away. But we don't see in the Torah that he struggled and overcame and battled. Right? We see him as the leader. That's why he's Kilo's role.
It wouldn't be because he's asked the line of Mashiach and both. And at least the Mashiach is the spiritual. Yosef is more the physical. So like Moshe Rabbeinu, he not just fighting with Amalek, he only was praying. So fighting was Yeshua.
Uh-huh.
So because when David or do the Hashem say he has blood and
the job of the king is not really to fight ideally. Right? The Jewish king is Hashem does everything. And that, as Reuben said, one of the reasons given to David why he was not able to build the temple, he had to wait until his son Shlomo did it, because David had blood on his hands from the wars, right? And that was not appropriate to then build, at least building the temple. And we know that the Moshiach is going to fight all his wars through prayer. What does that mean? It means that Hashem does it. Right? It's in Torah Bet, Mikotei Moran. Mashiach will fight all his wars through prayer. Okay. So, there's an interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin, but we'll get to very soon, Bezrat Hashem. Page 98b. Right, what's it talk about over there? It talks about over there the names of Mashiach. The names of Mashiach. So before we go into that Gemara, I should just point out there is a tradition in Breslov that whenever the Gemara HaKadosh mentions one of the Tanayim, Rav Nachman, that it has some relationship to our own Rav Nachman. Right, that the Rav Nachman in here has some relationship to our own Rav Nachman. But there's a tradition. But you'll see it fits nicely into this little piece of Gemara here. So what does the Gemara say over here? So Gemara says over here, 98b. Okay, they asked what is the name of Mashiach? Right? They asked what is the name of Mashiach. So I'm going to read just the initial translation because it's got proofs and stuff in the middle which are going to break it up. So the Rabbi Shiloh said that Mashiach's name is Shiloh. Rabbi. That's helpful. Right. Rabbi Yanai.
Let me guess, Yanai.
Right. Rabbi Shilo said his name is Shilo. Rabbi Yanai said his name is Davito. Yino. You know. What else have we got? Rabbi Chanina.
Chanina.
Said his name is Chanina. And Menachem ben Chezkiah. Then they all bring a proof for where they bring it from. Hezkiah, they're not just like they've all got Pasuk. Menachem ben Hezkiah says his name is, blow me away, Menachem. Yofi. Okay. Hebrew, Shiva, Ninon, Samina, and Nachem. You get my shift. So what do we see? So first of all, there's many Joshes you have. I'm just going to get to the fun bit in a minute. But there's many different Joshes you can get just from this. But one of them you see is that one of the Joshes that comes out of it is that every yeshiva student thinks his rabbi is Moshe. You always go with
in yeshiva in people. They are the rough.
That one is it means their school. It's their school.
They also think
themselves. Okay, so then the next bit is interesting. I'm going to read you the Hebrew. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, E min chayehu, if he is from the living, double question what that means, but if he's from the living, kagon ana, like me, someone like me. Rav Nachman says, if it's. Rav Nachman says, like me.
From the Gemara, no? Rav Nachman from the Gemara.
But, you know, there's a tradition that. And then Rav says, and then Rav says, and here's the clincher. Hold on.
It's like me. me also.
Rav says, Iminachayahu, if he's from the living, Rav says, Kagon like Babeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So, you should know that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is what a lot of people call Rav Nachman. Calling Rabbeinu HaKadosh.
Is there another explanation?
No, in the translation of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Stam means Rebbe. It means Rebbe. It means Rebbe. Rebbe. Stop. Huh? Right, yeah. Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That was it. He was also referred to as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But very rarely. Very rarely. Right? So it's a little bit unusual for Rav to use that acronym, that pseudonym.
Yes, only from the tribe Yehuda, not the Rabbis.
They have to be from the tribe Yehuda, or the who which?
From the tribe of Moshe.
That's the name, right? That's the name. What does it mean? That's his name. So the name is, we know that the many characters in the Tanakh have different names, right, especially in the Torah. Moshe had, I don't know how many names.
One.
One. No, Moshe had quite a number of names, right? And each one is a reference to who they are. Is symbolic of and what their job is. For example, the word Shiloh. So in the Torah, when we read that Rashi said Shiloh is Moshiach, he also then goes on to say Shiloh comes from the words Shiloh, a gift for him. So each one, Menachem means that he'll bring comfort. Right, so each one has a sheet on what his name is, alludes to what his job is as well. So, in one of the books of the Zohar, it's called the Tikkunei Zohar. It says that.
How many books did the Zohar write?
In the Zohar, about 4,000. It says it takes a pasuk from Mishlei. Masha Yahu Sheye. It's from Mishle. No, from Kohelet. Masha Yahu Sheye. What that was is that that will be. Right? And it says that what was will be, what does it mean? It talks about the final redemption will be the same as the previous redemption, the first redemption. Right? This redemption to Egypt. I will play out again in certain respects. Masha Yahu Shia says that the initial that equals Moshe. Right, that the Moshe or an Asp will come back. Moshe Dan Moshiach. Moshe, you should know he's Moshiach, says the Zohar. Moshe is the Moshiach. What does that mean? That the soul of Moshe will come back to deliver Am Yisrael. out. There's other things like the gematria of Shiloh is the same as the gematria of Moshe.
That's a question.
Yeah.
How does the resurrection of the dead work with Christ to kill the living? So if Moshe is resurrected and Moshe is also Mashiach and they have the same soul, how does that work?
Okay. So that's a good question. So the neshamas will come back. So Moshe, if Moshe's neshama is, this is just my thought. Moshe's neshama is reincarnated into Moshiach, then he has been resurrected. He has been resurrected. He has been resurrected. Moshe.
You said the mafia of Moshe, Shiloh is the same.
But he is the boss who continues.
Yeah, 345.
Moshe, the Shiloh is 335.
Not 345. Shiloh.
Ah, with the Yud, sorry. It's got a Yud in.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So that's what his name will be, and that's a allusion to also what he's going to do, right?
Rabbi Nachman says that Moshe, every tzaddik is an aspect of Moshe.
Uh huh. Okay.
So it's an aspect of Mashiach.
Nachon, and the Zohar says that Moshiach is born into every generation, and it's only if the generation is fitting that he becomes Moshiach, and if not, he doesn't. And therefore, the lead tzaddik of every generation has potential.
So who's naming tzaddik for this generation?
I don't know. Everyone needs to find the tzaddik. But Nachman says that it's everyone needs to pray a lot to find the tzaddik. It's not a simple matter.
Nachman
he said that. He also gave instructions that everyone needs to pray very hard to find him, even though he said, by the way, it's me.
You can't find it.
Right? But he still said everyone needs to pray very hard to find out who the tzaddik is, meaning that even though I can tell you that, by the way, I'm the tzaddik, Yofi, you can tell me what you like, I don't believe it, right? So unless you're a person who prays on it, it's not going to be real, it's not going to be, it doesn't mean anything to me. I sit here now tell you that the tzaddik of this generation is Rabbi Nachman. He said he was going to be the tzaddik until the time of Moshiach. From me until Moshiach comes, I'm the tzaddik of the generation. Yofi, thank you very much. I'll go and find my own one. Right, you've got your one, I'll find my one, everyone's happy. Yofi. Good. So that's why Rav Nachman says, no, go and pray on it. Until you pray on it, it's not gonna just accept it. Right? Why should you? Just because someone says he's a tzaddik. How do I know he's a tzaddik? Maybe not. I don't know. Until I pray on it, I'm not gonna see it, I'm not gonna understand it, I'm not gonna feel it, I'm not gonna know it. And everyone needs to know it, because without that, I'm rudderless. I have no direction. Right? I know. I mean, I'm lost. A world without a leader is a very. How do I know which direction to follow? Right? Each person, doesn't matter if they're Breslev or not, they have to have someone that they can, a path that they can believe in. Hey, see, David. Have to have someone that we can follow. If Rat Hashem, we will continue.